Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, yesterday we talked about the opportunity to enter into the most holy of holies in this new covenant, the tearing of the curtain from top to bottom. That was an indication that access was now made available to anyone who trusted in Jesus Christ. It's His blood that gives us confidence to enter in. But there's another implication of Jesus's finished work for you and me, and that's a state of spiritual rest. You know, we come into this world, we're separated from God, we're fearful of God's punishment, we have guilt all over us, and we want to do something to assuage that guilt, to remove that guilt. And I'm not talking about the feelings of guilt, I'm talking about our actual guilt, that we are sinners, that we've done something against holy God, and that we're separated from Him. That's just there. We know it's there. We can't really sometimes identify what that is as far as describing it verbally, but we know something's wrong. We know there's just this yuckiness about who we are, and we want to do anything and everything to rid ourselves of that, to be washed of that, to be cleansed of that. And so we come up with all kinds of ways to do that. You know, we plead and we beg and we try to make ourselves better. We try to plead and bargain with God. We come up with ritual to somehow satisfy Him. Almost every single religion has sprung forth from that type of mentality. We need to do these things in order to appease an angry God. And so we work and we work and we work. And it's a tireless cause, because we can never come to a point and say, hey, we've done enough, because we've never done enough. Mm-hmm. And in this new covenant, we get release from that. Christ said, I've done the work. I've shed the blood. I've offered the sacrifice. God the Father has accepted that. He's satisfied. He's been propitiated. And when you receive me, Jesus, then those sins will be washed away once and for all. It's in Him that we receive the forgiveness that He provided. So there's no more work for us to do. We couldn't do enough work anyway. And so when we come to Jesus, we can rest. That's one of the greatest, I think, benefits of this new covenant. In Hebrews 4, 9, and 10, it says, there remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own works, just as God did from his. We get to rest from all of those religious works of trying to get God to like us, trying to get God to love us, trying to get God to forgive us, trying to get God to accept us. We can just let go of those things and rest in what Christ has accomplished. He sat down after He finished His work. That is one of the great images in the New Testament.
Yes.
The fact that Christ sat down. Those Old Testament priests never sat down.
No.
They were always doing work. Why? Because the work was never done. But in Christ, the work is finished. And just as He has sat down at the right hand of God the Father, we can sit down in Him. We can rest spiritually. That's where God wants all of us. That's the destination place. That's our promised land, the fact that we can rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Have you entered into the finished work of Christ? Have you rested from your works just as God did from His? That opportunity's there for you. That's what God desires for you. As a matter of fact, that is God's will for you, that you rest in the finished work of Christ. We're going to talk about that today on this broadcast on Basic Gospel. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Go ahead and call if you have a question about the Sabbath rest. Today is an excellent time to talk about it. 1-800-677-9377. Also, I want to remind our listeners of our offer this month, a fabulous new resource called The New Covenant Journey. This is the first in the Basic Gospel Study Series, and the purpose is to connect you to the love of Jesus Christ. That is a life that just far exceeds anything the world can offer. So the Basic Gospel Study Series, the first of it, is The New Covenant Journey. It's the best-looking product that we've put out. This cover just blows you away. Well, we want to put it into your hands, and we will do so as our way of saying thank you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. A gift of $10, $25, $100 will mean so much to this ministry, to this outreach. It will help us through media to connect people to the love of Christ. And in exchange, you will get this wonderful new resource that will really aid you in your spiritual journey with Christ Jesus. So take advantage of this. All the information on how to give, how to contribute to Basic Gospel is on our website at basicgospel.net, basicgospel.net. Just click the support link and all the information is right there. If you prefer to use the phone, you can call our toll-free order line and talk to Billy at 1-800-727-2828. That's 1-800-727-2828. In the meantime, open lines, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, we've got an email here that is connected, I think, to this topic we're starting today, rest within the new covenant. This person's writing from California, says, I heard that a Christian should surrender to God every day. I can't find that in the new covenant. What do you say?
Well, you're not really going to find surrender. I think when we come to Christ, initially, that's a surrendering. Mm-hmm. You know, we've tried to make it on our own. We've tried to find out what life was all about. We've tried to find meaning and purpose. We've tried to find identity. We've tried to find love. We've tried to find acceptance. And all the places we looked, it wasn't there. We came up empty. And finally, we just come to a point and wave the white flag of surrender and say, you know, it's nowhere to be found. Lord, I am surrendering myself to you. And that's that response of faith, really, to the gospel yes. message. And so we're called to live by faith. And that is a dependent attitude. We walk in dependence upon Jesus Christ, just as he walked in dependence upon his Father. So it's not a matter of living to gratify the desires of the flesh anymore. You're kind of putting that behind you. And you're saying, I've been raised to walk in the newness of life. And that newness of life is a life of faith in Jesus Christ. And so faith has an element of surrender, but faith is what we're called to live by.
Yes. And the reason this question resonated with me is because when I started thinking about God and paying attention to religious things, this I have to surrender thing hit me like a ton of bricks. And I tied myself in knots by constantly asking the question, oh, have I surrendered to God today? And I turned it into this horrible work, and there was no rest in it at all. And so it depends on, you know, to this person in particular, How did you hear it in what context? If you heard about surrender in the context of walking by faith in the indwelling Holy Spirit, well, that's a good thing. If you heard about surrender in the context of, well, you'd better do this or you know God's going to get you, he'll beat you until you surrender. Well, then there's no blessing in that at all. There's no rest in that at all.
Right. And surrender, when you worded as this person did, do I have to surrender every day? Mm-hmm. You know, the focus is on, do I have to yeah. surrender every day? And so you wake up in the morning with that on your lips and on your mind, you know, Lord, I'm going to surrender to you today. And then you go to bed at night wondering how well you did. Did I surrender enough? Did I surrender in that area? Did I hold on to this area? And so it becomes all about you. But faith is a word that always is outward looking. Faith yes. always has to have an object. So it's faith in Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus' finished work on the cross, faith in Jesus' word to us, revealed yes. to us by the Holy Spirit. So this idea of faith points your eyes outward mm-hmm. to the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I think that's why it's so important for us to really get a grip on what faith is and how it operates in us each and every day. And the first thing it does, it forces us to look at Jesus Christ himself.
Yes.
Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk to Jermaine listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jermaine.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fantastic. What's on your mind today?
All right. My problem is that Jesus Christ says that not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. Well, who will enter the kingdom?
Well, Jermaine, only those who have trusted Jesus Christ, trusted in who he is, the Son of God, and trusted in what he's accomplished for us, his death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel message is all about Jesus. So when God gives to us the gospel, when God gives to us the good news, it is a story about his Son. I love how the angels announce that in the book of Luke to the shepherds. Today I bring you good tidings of great joy. I bring you good news. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born unto you. So what was the news? It was news about Jesus and the fact that he was a Savior and he was going to save his people from their sins. So that's the gospel message. And when we respond to that by faith, Jermaine, we're born again of the Spirit. We are claimed by God. We are declared by God to be his children. We are declared righteous. We are put on the robes of righteousness. And we are marked out as belonging to him by his Holy Spirit. Those are the ones that will be with him in heaven.
Okay, so now the other day I was listening and somebody asked about when you die, where will we go? The Bible says that even David, a man after God's heart, is still in the grave waiting for resurrection. When we die, the spirit goes to God, but the bodies and the soul dies and wait for resurrection. That's what the Bible says. I don't see anywhere the Bible says that when we die, we go straight to heaven. If it was the case, then there wouldn't be any resurrection. Everybody will go to heaven.
Well, Jermaine, that's the resurrection of the body. That's what that resurrection is talking about. When we die, our spirits and souls go to be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And then there's going to be a point in... Well, there's nowhere that says that, Jermaine. There's not a verse that says that. Those who reject Christ, they die, their bodies go into a grave, their souls go into a holding place, which we would call Hades, and then at a point in time, they're called out of those graves, and they will stand judgment. They will stand before the great white throne, and their fate will be judged at that point, and it will be judged.
Don't go to heaven. When you die, you don't go to heaven, though.
We go to be with the Lord. Christians go to be with the Lord. The lost go to be in a place called Hades.
So when Christians die, they go directly to heaven.
They go to be with Jesus, where Jesus is.
Where does it say that in the Bible?
2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8, it says, when we're absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord.
That's what it meant?
That's what it means right there.
But that doesn't deny that there will be a resurrection
of the body.
Don't mix the two up.
Okay.
I'm going to read it over.
Okay. Yeah, read that in 1 Corinthians 15 as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Jermaine. Sure appreciate your call.
I've got another question from Lucy, our friend Lucy. Galatians 6:2 tells us to bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. How do we do that? I know we are to patiently bear people's mannerisms and idiosyncrasies, but what else is it that we bear?
Well, it's a really good question, and it gets into this love one another aspect mm-hmm. of the gospel. I love how 1 John, how the Apostle John writes that it's not that we love God, but that he loved us first.
Yes.
So that's where it all begins. This gospel message begins with God. It begins with the fact that he loves us, that he's demonstrated that love for us in Christ Jesus by sending him to be the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the entire world. So this gospel message is motivated by love. It's bathed in love. The central issue of it is the love of God for us. And we respond to that. And we get connected to the love of God by faith. And as a matter of fact, our response of faith is our heart crying out to the Lord, I love you. A response of faith is our love for God. That's how we show that we love him. We respond to him in faith. And as we respond to him in faith, we're responding to his love that he has directed toward us in Christ Jesus. That love is made complete in us when it flows through us into the lives of other people. So that's the cycle of God's love. He directs it toward us. We respond to it. We get filled up to the measure with the love of God. And as we do, that overflows into the lives of others. Paul said it like this, faith expressing itself in love. There's nothing that counts more than that. So how does that spell itself out? Well, I think this is one of the passages that tells us, Galatians 6. And so it says, brothers, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So there's the context. We're all in the same boat. We're all being renewed in our minds, in our thinking. We're all being conformed to the image of Christ, but we still have flesh hanging on us. And there's this conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And sometimes that conflict just overwhelms us. It becomes so intense, we don't know what to do, and flesh is just tugging at us and tugging at us, and we give in. That's humanity. That's who we are. Well, when that happens, hopefully other brothers and sisters in Christ can come alongside and help us in our journeys. And that's what this passage is all about. So it's saying to us, if someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual, go and restore. Help bring about restoration in that person's life. But then it gives this warning. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Each one should test his own actions. So we need to be gentle. We need to be humble. We need to recognize that we could fall into the same thing. So he goes on to say, then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to someone else, for each one should carry his own load. It's your relationship with Christ. And as you are abiding in the resurrected Christ, that's what God has called you to do. You're not supposed to worry about anybody else in that regard. Then you're free to be a part of God's process in restoring someone who is caught up in a sin. And that doesn't mean that you've caught them. That means that they're trapped by something. They're mm-hmm. trapped by fleshly desires, the temptations of this world, and they've given into it. So that's what this passage is all about. And it's just one aspect of this loving one another that we're all called to. So it's a fabulous thing when you see it in
Yeah, it is. And if we do it any other way than the Bible describes it, it turns into being busybodies and fault finders. But when we do it exactly as you described it, then far be it from me to judge someone who's been caught up in something, but I may be able to help restore them. And that's a completely different approach and a completely different attitude toward the whole problem of have in the flesh.
Yes, indeed. And that really brings us back to our topic of the month, and it's the new covenant. And we've done some contrast of the new covenant to the old covenant. And so many of us still, you know, we linger over there in the old covenant. We're trying to let rules and regulations govern our relationship with God. And that's why he seems so distant, because we can never live up to those things.
Yeah.
Well, if we approach like Galatians 6:2 with an old covenant mindset, then we won't reach out in restoration. We will reach out in judgment.
Yes.
We will judge somebody for their sins. And that's what this pride is that he's warning against. Mm-hmm. To watch yourself, because you can get caught up in it as well. That's why this whole book of Galatians is talking about law and grace, the fact that we need to die to the old and come alive to the new. For if, I love what he says in Galatians chapter 2, says in verse 19 there, for through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. If you're still under the law, you're living for yourself. Like I said, you wake up in the morning thinking, God, here are the 10 things that I'm going to do for you today. And it's all about you. Here are the 10 things I'm going to do. At the end of the day, you look back and you make an assessment. How well did I do with those 10 things that I said I was going to do for you today? So it's all about you. So you're not living for God, you're living for you. And in living for you, you're hoping that you're doing a good enough job that God's going to be pleased with you, that he's going to be proud of you, that he's going to pat you on the back and say, you know, well done. But at the end of the day, you know, that's not coming. So we have to die to the law so that we can live for God. And then in verse 21, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. We need to set aside the old. It's fulfilled its purpose in us. It showed us our need for Christ. It showed us our condition apart from Christ. And now that we've come to Christ, the law has actually stepped away. It has said, I've done my job. I'm turning it over to Jesus. I was a vessel, a tool in his hands. I had a purpose. That purpose was limited. It's been fulfilled. And now I'm stepping aside so that Jesus can save, so that Jesus can come and live inside of you, so that Jesus can do his work in you. And a part of that work is teaching us about his love so that we can love others. That truly is the good news of the gospel.
Yes.
It's not just about a moment in time where God saves us. It's about a new way of life that we've been ushered into that is described in this new covenant. Well, we sure appreciate those who tuned in today. We hope this broadcast has been meaningful to you, that it's made you think, it's challenged you to get into the Word of God and to see more clearly His love, His grace, His mercy that's all been given to you in this new covenant. As a reminder, we have a wonderful new resource. It's the best-looking product that we've put out, I think, in our history. It's called The New Covenant Journey. It's the first in the Basic Gospel Study Series, and the purpose of it is to connect you to the love of Jesus Christ. This is a marvelous study for individual use or for group use, but we want to put a copy of it in your hands, and we will do so to say thank you for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. And we certainly encourage you, if this ministry has touched your heart, if this ministry has been a blessing to you, has enabled you to see the love of God for you poured out in Jesus Christ, would you step up and partner with us so that others can be connected to the love of Jesus Christ as well? We need you. This ministry needs you. Listeners across the land and all over the world need you to do what God has put in your heart to do as far as supporting Basic Gospel. Will you do so today? All the information on how to support the ministry is online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, we'll see you again tomorrow at this same time.